Presented by Facebook.
Good Tuesday morning. I'm Adrienne Hurst, and welcome to your Playbook Daily Briefing. Remember after the 2016 election, when basically every Democratic pollster and their mother vowed to figure out what went wrong so they could never be that wrong again? Well, five of the top Democratic polling firms are joining forces to try to explain once and for all what went wrong in 2020, when they predicted victories for the party up and down the ballot that just didn't happen. As Politico's polling guru Steve Shepard scoops this morning, the competing firms banded together after the election to conduct a self-autopsy of sorts. It found major errors and a failure to, quote, live up to our own expectations, but it found no easy solution to the problem of consistently overestimating how major Democratic candidates, including Joe Biden, would perform. Four big culprits the pollsters did find? First, deteriorating public trust in institutions, government, the news media, and, yes, the polling industry, driven by Trump's bashing of those very institutions. Essentially, Trump's voters were, surprise, less willing to participate in the polls. Second, pollsters again underestimated turnout among rural and white non-college voters, who overwhelmingly backed Trump. Third, a failure to detect late movement toward Trump and Republican candidates in the run-up to the election. And finally, not accurately accounting for the fact that Democrats stayed home and answered their phones in greater numbers last year than Republicans who did not follow COVID restrictions quite as closely. So knowing all of these problems exist should make it easier for pollsters to avoid them next time around, right? Well, not necessarily. The thing is, even before Trump, the polling industry had been struggling to adapt to fewer landlines, which are relatively reliable for survey takers. And now, post-Trump, the challenge of measuring public sentiment is even tougher when few people want to answer the phone and many actively distrust pollsters. Here's what the five Democratic firms landed on, to quote their memo. While there is evidence some of these theories played a part, no consensus on a solution has emerged. What we have settled on is the idea there is something systematically different about the people we reached and the people we did not. Put another way, as one of the pollsters told Shepard, who got the scoop on the autopsy, 2020 was an oh sh** moment for all of us. Here's what else is driving the day today. First, the latest from Minnesota. President Biden is urging patience as an investigation begins into another fatal police shooting of an unarmed black man. 20-year-old Dante Wright was killed during a traffic stop in a Minneapolis suburb on Sunday. The Brooklyn Center police chief last night said the officer who fired the shot that killed Wright meant to use her taser. Biden told reporters in the Oval Office yesterday that he watched the graphic body cam footage, but is reserving judgment about the officer's culpability until the results of the investigation come out. He also acknowledged the protests that escalated yesterday.
We do know that the anger, pain, and trauma that exists in the black community in that environment is real. It's serious and it's consequential, but it will not justify violence and or looting.
This all comes as final arguments are expected next week in the murder trial of former Minneapolis officer Derek Chauvin for the killing of George Floyd last summer. Today in Congress, Democrats are daring the GOP to filibuster their hate crimes bill. Schumer's teeing up a vote on the bill tomorrow, which comes amid a spike in attacks, harassment, and racism against Asian Americans during the pandemic. And while the GOP has yet to make a conference-wide decision, the vote could serve as a data point for Dem senators who are trying to persuade more of their colleagues to scrap the 60-vote threshold. That threshold's left some of Biden's most progressive priorities to languish in the upper chamber. Minority Whip John Thune said that Republicans are considering voting to open debate and offering amendments on the hate crimes measure. He said some in the GOP might want an opportunity to, quote, engage in a discussion about how to make it better, how to improve it. All eyes will be on the Senate tomorrow. Now, about that White House infrastructure meeting, congressional Republicans left a meeting with Biden yesterday saying the press struck all the right notes on being open to compromise. They said the meeting went well. But afterward, Representative David Price told Politico that the main obstacle, and it's a big one, remains how to pay for it all. During the meeting, Senator Roger Wicker, the ranking Republican on the Commerce Committee, echoed what we've been hearing from the GOP since Biden introduced the multi-trillion dollar plan, that raising the corporate tax rate to pay for it is a non-starter, especially for Republicans who see their support for Trump's 2017 tax cuts as a legacy-defining vote. And if you've been enjoying those infrastructure memes on Twitter as much as I have, this won't surprise you. Republicans still want to talk through what infrastructure actually is. The party line stance is that Biden's definition is too broad and that he should stick to things like roads and bridges. Finally, Senate Republicans are calling for a Trump-McConnell truce, and good luck to them. 2 days after Trump derided McConnell as a dumb SOB, Senate Republicans are calling on the two to make peace. Even Senator John Thune, McConnell's number two and no big fan of Trump, says the two need to come to some kind of understanding if they want a shot at taking back the majority, and if Trump wants to stay relevant in the party. Trump, of course, isn't having it. And in a statement last night, he hit McConnell again, accusing him of being too weak to fight the left's court reform efforts. Everyone knows McConnell cares more about the courts than pretty much any Republican in Washington, which is probably why Trump chose to make that particular dig. In the meantime, the drama between the two isn't going away anytime soon. Expect the Kentucky Republican to be asked about this at his weekly news conference today. Now let's take a look at Biden's Tuesday. The president will get his daily brief at 9:30 this morning. Biden will visit the Capitol Rotunda to pay his respects to Capitol Police Officer William Evans at 11 a.m. Biden and VP Kamala Harris will meet with members of the Congressional Black Caucus at 2 p.m. in the Oval Office. The vice president will hold a roundtable on Black maternal health alongside domestic policy advisor Susan Rice at 12:30 p.m. At 4 p.m., Harris will visit the Capitol Rotunda to pay her respects to Evans. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki will hold a briefing at 12:30 p.m. Subscribe to the Playbook newsletter at politico.com/playbook. And to hear the very first episode of Politico's brand new narrative podcast, make sure you're subscribed to Playbook Deep Dive. The first episode drops next Friday. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Adrienne Hurst. Thanks, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's been 25 years since lawmakers passed comprehensive internet regulations. But the internet has changed a lot since then, and it's time for an update. That's why Facebook supports updated internet regulations to set clear guidelines for addressing today's toughest challenges, like protecting privacy, fighting misinformation, reforming Section 230, and more. See our progress on key issues and what's next at about.fb.com/regulations.